So let's dive deep. Let's do it. What if what you are about to hear could change your life forever? Inhale. Exhale. Set an intention. You are seen. You are heard. You are loved. This is The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
Hello, Deep Divers. Thank you for joining me for another episode of The Deep Dive. This one's amusing. This one is me, you, and my mind. Let's go into what's been alive for me recently. Before I dive into that, I'd like to make a request. If you enjoy this podcast, if this is something that is bringing value to your life, I ask that you share it out on your social medias and please leave a review. Leave a review on iTunes, subscribe, leave a comment or a follow on SoundCloud if that's where you're listening to this. All of that stuff helps with the algorithm and it continues to help people find this podcast. And for me right now, it's so amazing because there's a lot of different platforms that people are getting the messages through. And my team and I are in constant evaluation of like, what's the highest leverage move? Where do I put my energy to help create the greatest impact? And so as long as this podcast continues to be one of those places, I will continue to do it. And if you enjoy it, please help me spread the word. Thank you. And today's topic is really about consumerism. It's this idea of I, us, they, them, you, like this separatism within and how it ties into consumerism, because it's inspired by what's going on Mauna Kea, which is this sacred site in Hawaii. And when I say a sacred site, this is something that can be really, you know, up for debate, I guess, because for some people, they may say, yeah, that's not really a sacred site. And for the people who think it's a sacred site, right? So who's to say what that is? Well, that's a really great question and a big part of where this kind of debate happens, right? I don't remember the mountain, but there's a mountain, I believe it's in North Dakota, somewhere around that. And it's this mountain where it's a sacred site to the Native Americans who pilgrimage to it each and every year. And yet it's one of the most popular sites to rock climb. And I remember seeing some video about the kind of fight that's going on because the rock climbers, as they, you know, climb up, are hammering in their, I don't even know what the words are, I forgive me, but, you know, hammering in their clips and climbing up these rocks. And the Native people are upset about this and they feel like it's a desecration of this sacred mountain. Well, to the mountain climbers, they're like, this is actually how I see it as sacred. This is also a sacred site for me because when I'm climbing it, I feel so connected. It's a spiritual experience. So that in itself is a really interesting viewpoint. Like, who's it sacred to? How do we treat it as sacred, right? And similar with Standing Rock and the water sources that the indigenous people, the native people really stood for protecting, the sacred land, the sacred water. And I guess you could say losing that battle and the Dakota Access Pipeline moving forward. And now we're seeing it. We're seeing it in New Zealand. It's going on right now. And you're also seeing it in Hawaii. We're seeing it with Mauna Kea and these Native Hawaiians speaking to how it is a sacred site in their Native Hawaiian cosmology. And there's a project right now, it's called the 30 meter telescope project. And they are attempting to build a very large scale telescope and observatory on this land. Now, I love science. I'm a big fan of science. Science and technology is what's allowing me to record this podcast, send it out to you, upload it for you to listen to it, all of the things. And I recognize that at some point there gets to be a respect to tradition. There gets to be a respect to history. There gets to be a respect to the spiritual. Because really, that's what this is about, right? This is about the sacred spiritual and the scientific, the technological. And if we look at what's been happening on this planet for so long, there has been a consistent sacrifice of the spiritual in favor of the scientific. That has been our recent, not even our, like our long-standing history now for a while, is things like the fall of Egypt and the desecration of the ancient wisdom schools and the burning of the Library of Alexandria and all of these things in our history that we can point to as being something where we have not respected our history. We have not respected the wisdom that exists if it isn't in line with a very specific scientific advancement. And I don't even know where to go with this in the sense of, do I want that telescope to be built? Absolutely. Do I want it to be built on a spiritually significant site? No, I don't. And so where do I fall in this argument? I feel like there is a reality in which everyone wins. I just believe that. I believe that there's a reality in which the telescope can be built. The information, the knowledge that can be gained from that science is beneficial to this planet. And it can be done while honoring and respecting and valuing the spiritual side of reality. Because there is a spiritual side to reality. There's a spiritual side to this existence. There is an energetic side that goes beyond what we can explain with science right now. Notice that science is actually working to explain more and more of this reality. It cannot explain everything. Maybe at some point it will be able to, but it can't right now. And so to say that if it can't be explained with silence, it's not relevant, seems like an incredible disservice when we've already acknowledged that science can't explain everything. What about the things that it can't currently explain? What about those things? How do we value those? And that is where the spirituality comes in. And that is when we talk about the different divides, the separatism on this planet right now, when we think about the arguments around divine feminine and divine masculine that are happening on the planet, something that I have been spending a lot of time thinking about. And honestly, I don't even resonate very much anymore with divine feminine, divine masculine. And that will be a different podcast as I've continued to flesh out more of my beliefs and thoughts around it. But for right now, just recognizing that divine feminine, divine masculine, like linear, non-linear, like light and dark, like these polarities of existence, when we're thinking about that and we specifically hone in on science and spirituality and what's going on, what we're seeing with things like with Dakota Access Pipeline, which I say is, you know, a similar thing. The sacred spiritual nature of this existence, the sacred spiritual nature of this earth versus the technological advancement. And it becomes us and they, us and them. Who is they, right? Like they want to destroy our land, or they are getting in the way of our scientific advancement. They, them, it's their fault. Right, the gun control versus the NRA, they, and what does that even mean? In this stand, like in this particular instance, as I'm talking about Mauna Kea and the 30-meter pipeline, I saw a photo image. I posted it to my Instagram and to my Facebook, if you want to see the actual image. But it was a really powerful image of one of the protesters, head to head, like embracing, head to head, forehead to forehead touching with one of the sheriffs who was sent in to arrest the protesters. And it was so powerful because it was this recognition that these are Native Hawaiians protecting their land, and these are some Native Hawaiians who are being sent in to do their job and arrest these people. And it was such a dissolving of this idea of them and they and us and we, and recognizing that it is all us. We are one human family. Because, like, who benefits from the Dakota Access Pipeline? All those people who went and protested the Dakota Access Pipeline, when that thing is built, who's going to be using that energy? You think all those protesters, that none of them are using the energy that's made from the Dakota Access Pipeline? You think none of them are using the products that are made from using that energy? You think once this 30-meter telescope is built, wherever it's built, and there's some scientific advancement from it, do you think that the people who are protesting it won't benefit from that scientific advancement? Who is we? Who is us? Who is them? We can protest nuclear power and yet continue to use it. We can protest factory farming and yet continue to eat it. We go into a store and we say, oh, wow, I don't want the animals to be tortured and like gassed in large chambers. Like, I don't want that. But the meat that's not humanely raised is like half the price. So I'm just going to get it. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want people to be in sweatshops. I don't want human rights violations, but when I go and shop at H&M or one of these mass market producers, they're just cheaper. They're less expensive. It's easier to go to one of these stores than to try and find like a local producer. What do you think you're saying when you do that? We are voting with our dollar. It may sound cliche, it's something you may have heard, but really think about that. We are voting with our dollar. We are voting with where we send our energy, which we send in the form of money. Money is just a representation of energy. It means, think about that, you put in 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week to earn something called money. You are putting your energy out, and in exchange, you are getting money. Then you are using that money to buy something that someone put their energy into making and shipping and selling. So you are trading your energy in whatever way that is for other energy in whatever form that takes. Money is the middleman. Money is the representation of that. And yet, where are you putting your energy? Would you go to a factory farmer, someone that you know is treating animals really poorly, and say, hey, give me that chicken that you haven't let move and that is living in terrible conditions. Give me that chicken and I will do your taxes, or I will make you a chair, or whatever it is, right, that you do. You might say, actually, that dude doesn't treat that animal well. I don't want to do anything for that person. Wow, that business owner who is owning a factory in India or China and treating their workers really poorly, I don't want to do anything for that person. I don't want to help them continue to treat people poorly. And yet, the moment that we put money in the middle of that, we disconnect ourselves a bit from what that actually means. If you are an accountant, that means you're doing taxes or balance sheets or whatever it is, would you do the taxes of someone that you felt like was not in alignment, that you felt like was doing really things that were harming the planet? If you're a personal trainer like I used to be, would you want to train someone and help them get into better shape being around someone who was committing human rights violations? I know that I personally desire to pour my energy into people and organizations that I feel like are helping benefit this planet. I am holding space. I have love for the people who I don't feel are. I have love for them and I'm there for them and I continue to put out all my content and everything in hopes that it will give them new levels of awareness and possibly shift where their values lie. And I don't desire to support those because every time that you buy factory farmed meat, you are encouraging factory farms. Every time you buy sweatshop made clothing and clothing, by the way, it's not just about the sweatshop. It's about they're using dyes and things that are bleeding into fresh water supplies and ruining the fresh water on this planet. There's a lot of these sorts of issues. And if I choose to give my energy to them, I'm saying, keep doing what you're doing. I'm rewarding you. And so when I recognize that if I benefit from certain business practices, if I choose to benefit from the 30-meter telescope that's being built on sacred land, if I choose to benefit from the Dakota Access Pipeline, well, where is the us and the them at that point? We get to put our money where our mouth is. When you say that you stand for human rights, when you say that you stand for the protection of sacred land and indigenous people, when you say that you stand for the positive, like humane treatment of animals, of humans, if you say that you stand for those things, where are you putting your energy? We get to become more conscious, more aware of where we put our energy in each and every moment, in all of the ways, where we spend our time, where we put our attention, where we spend our money. Every time you buy organic, you are encouraging more farmers to farm organic. Every time you spend the extra money to shop at the place and buy the clothing that was made with fair wages, fair trade, you are encouraging more people to make that sort of clothing. So I'm not going to Hawaii to protest. I'm not going to blockade. I'm not going to do that. That is not my path. And yet I feel like what I can do is help spread awareness of what's going on. And also, perhaps even more than that, awareness of what's the cause of that and how we can shift it. And what you can do where you're like, oh, I didn't go to Dakota Access Pipe. I didn't go to Standing Rock to protest. I'm not going to Hawaii to protest. Like, what can I really do? Vote with your dollar. Recognize that there is no us and them. If you are benefiting from these things, if you are choosing to partake in those systems, then what is happening is you are supporting it in some way. Supply and demand. Let's remove the demand. Is that convenient? No. By the way, most of the stuff that we're seeing on the planet that we may not align with is there because of convenience. Convenience because of how easy it is, how easily accessible it is, or convenience because of how cheap it is. McDonald's and all the factory farming that they've done, it started off as convenience. You could get a really good tasting hamburger for really cheap. Amazing. Monsanto and Roundup and all of the chemicals that are being sprayed on things. Why did that come in? Because of the convenience of knowing, oh, I could get a watermelon all year round. I can get delicious apples all year round. I'm a farmer and I'm not losing a bunch of my crop to pests and insects. So therefore, I can charge a lower fee because I'm keeping a higher crop yield. Convenience is what has spawned so much of what we now know to be not harmonious to this planet. And so if we're not willing to get a little inconvenient and spend a little bit more of our money on higher quality products and buy less, or if we're not willing to inconvenience ourselves and not use certain products, inconvenience ourselves the way I would consider one of the inconveniences is traveling with like bamboo cutlery so that I don't have to use plastic ones or a reusable straw. The inconvenience of needing to wash out that straw versus just throw away the plastic one. And yet, where am I putting my energy? What am I willing to do energetically? In that moment when I'm not using a plastic straw and I'm using my reusable straw, it doesn't take any more energy to stick it into the cup. However, it takes more energy to wash it. Right? That's really what we're talking about, to wash it, to carry it around. That's the energy. And yet I'm putting my energy into saying I don't want more plastic, single-use plastic floating around in our oceans and filling our landfills. So I'm putting my energy into a world with less plastic. That's where I'm putting my energy. Great. It may require more of my money to buy the meat that is free range or the organic products. It may require more of my energy. So then I may need to work a little bit more. So if I work an extra 2 hours a week so that I can do that, or 4 hours a week, I'm saying with my time, those 4 hours are worth me saying no more factory farming. More organic being available. And by the way, when there's more organic available and the practices are more supportive for that and the technologies are more supportive to that, the price will go down. I'm willing to put more hours of my time, I'm putting more energy into creating that world. There is no us or them. The factory farms and the factory farmers are not bad people. They are people who are doing what they felt like was more convenient, more able for them to thrive, and something that most of this planet is saying with their energy that they want. This 30-meter telescope, the world is saying, we want this. We want this technology. Great. Is it at the cost of our spirituality? You get to be present to that. You get to decide for yourself, where are you putting your energy and what are you saying you want? What world are you creating in each and every moment with every choice that you make? I encourage you to look up what's happening in Hawaii right now on Mauna Kea. Figure out where you're spending your money. Really take a look at it. Look at the products in your closet. Look at the products in your refrigerator, in your cupboard, and start understanding what you're saying about the world you are designing, and get very intentional about the world you want to be living in. Thank you very much for listening. If this has resonated with you, please leave a review, subscribe on iTunes, follow on SoundCloud, and share it out with the world so that more people can help join the movement of intentional living and we can create the world we desire together. As always, in all ways, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.